This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. With the new, more contagious strain of COVID-19 now in the U.S., mask wearing is as important as ever to slow the spread of the virus. But masks also pose challenges to communicating, especially for people with hearing loss or who are deaf. About 16% of people in Illinois have some form of hearing loss. Earlier in the pandemic, when the Illinois Deaf and Hard of Hearing Commission announced that it had free, clear face shields to distribute, supply ran out, and the commission received more than 26,000 requests. So, how have people who are deaf or have hearing loss been balancing the need to communicate through facial expressions and lip reading with the public health guidelines to wear a mask? And for people who are hearing, are there certain masks that are better for audibility? We're joined now by Professor Pasquale Baralico. He recently led a research study looking at the effects of masks on speech intelligibility in school. It was published in the Journal of the Acoustical Society of America this fall. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Speech and Hearing Science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Professor Baralico, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we are also joined by Elle Mendiola. She is a manager of community outreach and advocacy for the Chicago Hearing Society. Mendiola is herself deaf. She is going to be speaking with us today through a video relay service. I think we are still waiting for the interpreter to join us. So I will just dive into the conversation. Oh, I should also remind listeners, if you'd like to join us, by giving us a call at 800-222-9455 is the number to call. If you have a question about communicating through masks, and the best way to do so for people who have hearing loss, the number to call is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Professor Baralico, prior to the pandemic, what were some of the biggest acoustic challenges in classrooms for students?
So when we are talking about classroom acoustics, this is one of the most complex scenario we can have in terms of acoustics. And we also have to think that classroom are the principal place where education is happening. So one of the main problem we have two side problem. We have to think about communication in classrooms, and we have two main type of people in the classrooms. We have the students and we have the teachers. So the students are there theoretically to listen what the teacher is saying and to learn from the teacher. At the same time, we have the teacher in the room, and the teacher needs to talk in the same place for many hours, usually above a very loud noise, usually generated by the kids, by the students per se. So in those complex scenario, what happened in the past is that all the research pointed and was focusing on intelligibility for students. So in order to increase the level of intelligibility for students, what we need to do in an environment is to reduce the reverberation time in the environment. So the reverberation time represents in such a way the reflection, the amount of reflections that we have in an environment, and it's a kind of echoic effect in the room. So the highest is the reverberation time, the more difficult is to correctly understand speech in that place.
So you don't want it sounding sort of echoey like a big arena or
exactly,
you want to deaden the sound somewhat. Yeah.
We want what is defined a dead sound, so there is not a lot of reflection from the rooms, from the walls, from the surface. At the same time, we have a person there that is speaking, and we recently discovered that we need a certain amount of reflection that is helping the speaker to support and to increase the perception of their own voice, so that can reduce the risk of voice disorders. And among teachers, we have a relevance of voice disorder that is about 60%. So 60% of teachers are currently suffering from voice disorders. So as you can understand, it's a very complicated problem. However, if we are focusing on intelligibility, what we need to try to reduce is the level of noise in the environment and we need to try to reduce the level of reflection in the environment. What I can say is that generically in the US, there is a standard that is defined how classrooms should be built and which is the limit for the reverberation time in an environment, which is between 0.4 and 0.6 seconds. And because in the US, pretty much all the schools are in new building, I would say that it's generically respected as a limit. So we have generically good acoustic condition in the US. However, those standards have been created without taking into account the speaker and the teacher. So that's probably also the reason why we have a high relevance of voice problem among teachers.
Well, so far we
are doing a lot of work on that, and we are trying to understand which should be the optimal condition that is trying to satisfy both sides, the students and the teachers. So yeah, that's my main topic of research.
How has mask wearing interfered or affected this dynamic of speech intelligibility in classrooms?
The mask, basically, they are creating a filter that is blocking somehow the speech production. So acoustically speaking, what we have is that there is a reduction of the sound at high frequencies, and mainly frequencies that are higher than 4 kHz. Those type of frequency are fundamental to understand speech, mainly to discriminate consonant. So the wearing a mask is impacting the capability of students or people generically to correctly discriminate consonant, and so is impairing the possibility to correctly understand speech. So there is a decrease in the overall level of the sound, and in order to understand speech, we need a signal to noise ratio, so a speech to noise ratio that is above zero. In optimal condition, we should have at least 6 dB of signal to noise ratio. So with a mask, we have a lower signal, and also it's becoming even softer at high frequency, impairing the possibility to understand correctly consonant.
How did you go about studying this? Can you talk about the sort of design
Definitely.
Of the study? Yeah.
So the study was conducted at the University of Illinois, and as you can understand in this moment, it's particularly tricky to collect data because mainly, you know, we did the study during the spring and the summer, last spring and summer. So the way that we act was we have an hand and torso simulator, which is a mannequin that has the directivity of the human voice. So it can talk, it is a device and it can talk. So what we did, we use a standardized speech material that is available in every audiology clinic. The name of the test that we use, CNC. So it's basically, we use several lists of words that are monosyllabic words, and they consist of a consonant, vowel, consonant. Every list contains all the phoneme of American English. So every list is testing all the possible phoneme. What we did, we used the head and torso simulator to reproduce the same speech material with different masks and without mask. And we recorded what was coming out from the head and torso simulator. In this way, we had exactly the same speech material, but filtered with different type of mask. In particular, we focus our attention on a fabric mask, on a surgical mask, and on an N95 mask, because those are the most used one right now. After that, we involved a group of 40 college students through a web survey, and we asked them to perform this intelligibility test, so to try to recognize correctly the words that were recorded. And they did it with an headphones in a quiet environment, but they did it in their own place. Usually they did it at home. The biggest part of them did the experiment at home. So there was no risk for no one, basically, because everyone did it in his own place. At the end, what we did, what we found from the results of the intelligibility score of the students was that when they were listening to speech material produced with a fabric mask, the probability to correctly understand the words was 50% less compared to a condition without mask. In the case of the surgical mask, the probability of correctly understand a word was 56% less, while in the case of the N95, this probability was going to 47%. So the performance that they had in the with the surgical mask and with the N95 mask were similar, and it was about 46 and 47% less compared to a condition without mask. But in the condition with the fabric mask, this percentage of correctly recognized words went low. So it was 57% lower compared to the probability of correctly recognized words in a condition without mask.
So I know numbers can be challenging to follow for people on the radio. So what is the bottom line? What is the best type of mask for intelligibility? For making
Let's
yourself heard?
The point. So at this stage, what we found was that the surgical mask and the N95, all the masks are creating a degrading effect on the speech. So we cannot avoid that. However, the surgical mask and the N95 are less impacting the capability of correctly understand speech compared to fabric mask. And that's due to the characteristic of the material that we are using when we are producing them. So the absorption at high frequency is much higher when we are using fabric mask. So in summary, and as a suggestion, we showed that the use of surgical mask and N95 mask can minimize negative effects on speech intelligibility, and the student, we also evaluated the listening effort from the student, while we can keep protecting instructor and student together. So these are the masks that we are recommending in a teaching environment. So the surgical mask and the N95 instead of the fabric mask, which is what is happening pretty much in the US right now.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Pasquale Baralico. He is an assistant professor of speech and hearing science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And we're talking about how masks affect speech intelligibility, particularly in classrooms settings. He was recently the lead author on a study about which type of masks work best in the classroom. We had also hoped to bring into this conversation El Mendiola, who is a community manager and outreach coordinator for the Chicago Hearing Society. However, we have had trouble, El is deaf, and we've had trouble connecting with an interpreter for this conversation. So we will plan to bring you that conversation very soon on the 21st. I'm sorry we don't have that today. We will revisit that soon. But for now, in just a few minutes we have remaining, Professor Baralico, I'd like to get your perspective on another aspect, since you have also studied speech and hearing in public environments like classrooms, but also restaurants. You know, we've heard about these sort of ancillary I'm reluctant to say silver linings of the pandemic, right? But there's fewer airplanes in the sky, less carbon pollution. I wonder in terms of our hearing, right? We're in fewer noisy places. We're not in restaurants. Classes are on Zoom. We're not going to concerts, sporting events. Are there any advantages to preserving our hearing and our hearing health from this pandemic and the sort of staying at home that we've all been doing?
I unfortunately do not agree 100% with you about the fact that we are exposed to less noise. And the reasoning is that definitely there is less noise around. If you are what is defined soundscape of the urban places is changing dramatically. And there's a lot of interest in the research right now in evaluating how this is affecting the population. But if we are talking about noise dose, so how much noise we are exposed to right now, is seriously depend by the type of job that you do. The pandemic is forcing us to have constantly Zoom meeting, and sometimes we are not at home alone, so we have also to respect that. So that means that pretty much we are all using headphones in this moment. And headphones can be very dangerous for our hearing system, because it's true that we can control the loudness of it, but it's also true that the source of noise is very close to our ear. And the closer is the source of noise to a receiver, the higher will be the impact of the energetic level that we are exposed to. So I partially agree with you. Yeah, there is a decrease in the noise in the environment, and we are all enjoying this quieter life. At the same time, if you are working, if you are doing smart working and you are doing a lot of Zoom meeting or lectures or situation in which you have to communicate and you're using headphones, I will strongly suggest check the volume of your headphones constantly and trying to reduce it, because listening music or talking or having conversation through headphones can be very dangerous for our hearing system.
That's good advice. I'm turning my headphones down right now as we are speaking. Hard to avoid in radio, but I guess the better thing is if you can, if you have the means to be able to separate yourself from any distractions in your house and not listen through headphones and do those Zoom calls just on the speakers of the computer, that maybe that's a better situation.
Exactly. And if you are interested, a few years ago, I published a paper.
Oh, and we might have just lost Professor Badalico there.
And hearing evaluation and voice evaluation.
Okay. Well, we're going to have
to paper.
We're going to have to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Assistant Professor Pasquale Badalico. He is, as I said, an Assistant Professor of Speech and Hearing Science at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. We've been talking about how masks affect speech intelligibility. And we had also hoped to bring you a conversation with community manager and outreach coordinator at the Chicago Hearing Society. We could not do that because we could not connect with a interpreter for this conversation today at the last minute, but we will plan to bring you that conversation soon. More to come here on the 21st after a short break. Stay with us.